الحافظ عبد الغني المقدسي, he was an imam of hadith, he was known to the layman and the ulama, he related to everyone, everyone liked him. A man who had a soft heart and eyes that were always crying from the fear of Allah. A man who spoke the truth. When the people like this man, this alim, get envied. Because there's governments that pour and pump millions to promote certain characters so those characters can promote their agenda with unlimited resources they have. Yet you find the true alim who may not even have the provision of one day gain the love and attention of masses. And sometimes it may not be masses, but they're more effective than the masses their opponents have. One day, and precisely on the 24th day of the Hijjah 594 after the Hijrah, in a halaqah in Damascus he was teaching, people approached him to harm him. Two men, actually. He was teaching actually a class of aqidah. Al-Khatib Diyaeddin and Al-Qadi ibn al-Zukki al-Dawla'i, they went and informed the leader that this man is a deviant. So the leader invited him, let them have a debate, and our scholar here won the debate. That angered those two Ash'aris more. So they went to the ruler again and kept instigating and instigating until the leader got fed up and he said, Abd al-Ghani al-Maqdisi, leave my country. He left, and on his way leaving, he made dua on those two Ash'aris. Al-Qadi ibn al-Zukki, the judge, he was a judge. We went within days from being a judge to an insane man who would have crazy outbursts in the streets and died days after, and so did his partner. Wallahi, many stories, one can go on. But let me tell you this personal one that comes to my mind a lot. When I was a teenager, my father was given a khutab in a local masjid here. A masjid he helped found when he was a youth, when he first came to this country. In 1980s, I think all of you were not born back then, Khomeini was so popular. And he was so popular, and he was like the Messiah that was going to liberate the Muslim world and return Palestine and do everything. It's rare to enter a house of people from the Sunnah who didn't have his picture. May Allah curse his soul. My father at that time invited a sheikh named Ihsan Ilahi Zahir from Pakistan. He was a reviver and exposing Shia. And he was possibly killed by them soon after that, approximately a year after he visited us. He was attacked. After Ihsan Ilahi Zahir left to Pakistan, he was attacked by the Shia because they're a majority in the area. And they spoke ill about him. And then in the masjid, they said someone, a sunnah, a man who attributes himself to a sunnah, said a derogatory words about Aisha. So my father hit the pulpit and explained, and for a fact, I know it was the first time anyone exposes the belief of the Shia on a pulpit in the United States of America. May Allah grant my father a long life full of deeds. He deemed it necessary because many, it was normal back then to see someone tell you, I was Shia, and I was Sunni, and now I'm Shia. Normal, very normal. The president of the society after the khutbah of my father deemed what my father did in talking about Shia, fitna. So he banned my father from a masjid my father established, and he was among the people my father brought into the masjid. He went on to cause more harm. And I heard my father one day when he did some certain type of harm to us, he said, may Allah blinden his eyes. The days went on, the months went on, the years went on. And by the way, because of that khutbah, until today my father is not permitted to give khutbah in that masjid. And he was a founder of that masjid when it was built. We lost touch with that man. Everyone goes on his own way. We forgot about him. 15 years later, wallah al-azim. I was in a cemetery burying the mother of one of my students. And I was on a upper, higher area speaking over the grave, and there was the crowd of people there. And from a distance, a blind man comes. And he approaches with a young boy leading him. When I seen him as I was speaking, it distracted me and I was lost for words. After the burial, I immediately headed to this man and I said, Salaamu Alaikum. He said, Alaykum As-Salaam. I said, are you so-and-so? He said, yes. Who are you? I said, I'm Sheikh Musa's son. He said, oh, he possibly forgot what he did. After he was blind, after a superficial talk, he left and I talked, and I left. I went to my father. I said, do you know who I seen? And I told my father. He said, Alhamdulillah. He was happy. He's actually happy that I met that man. I said, my father, you're not surprised he's blind. He said, no, why should I be? I said, you make dua on him one day. He said, when? And I reminded him of the details. He said, wallahi, you're right. He remembered when he harmed us, he did this and that. Of course, my father after that has forgiven him and forgiven every Muslim who did way more than that to us. But the point is, the arrows reach Allah. Had I not met him at the cemetery, I would have thought, oh, he did what he did. We make dua and that's it. But the arrows of dua flow in the sky for the command of Allah to say, now is the right time. It's not up to you when the time is. It's up to Allah. Do you think what's going on in the world today from the east to the west and north to the south is by chance? Wallahi, all it takes is the dua of one. One finger to Allah at the right moment and with the sincere heart, it will disseminate nations. One finger to Allah. الشافعي said, أتعزأ بالدعاء وتزدريه وما تدري بما صنع الدعاء سهام الليل لا تخطي ولكن لها أمد وللأمد قضاء. You mock dua and you spurn it. You don't know what dua has done. The arrows of night don't miss. Rather, they have a destiny. They will reach it. I must mention before I conclude. I know I stayed a little bit longer, but in Sifat al-Safwa, I can't go without mentioning this one. Sifat al-Safwa in the second volume, and Sira Alam al-Nubala in the sixth volume, Qutaybah ibn Muslim al-Bahili went in an army to Khurasan to fight the Turk. He gets shocked. There's an army opposing him of over 10 times more than his army. Horrific scene. So he shouted, where's Muhammad ibn Wasi? Where's Muhammad ibn Wasi? The soldiers went out to seek what their general is asking for. They want to go and find this man. So they found him. He was leaning on a spear, raising his finger, looking at his finger and on the sky, looking at the finger and at the sky. Qutaybah said, now it's time to move on. Now it's time to move on. That's all he needed to know. When he knew the status of him, that's all he needed to know. He said, the finger of Muhammad ibn Wasi' is more beloved to me than 1,000 wielding swords in the hands of 1,000 strong soldiers. That little finger is stronger than 1,000 soldiers. It may be a finger, blood, veins, bones, but when it connects in dua with Allah, it's dangerous. After the victory, he went to him. The general went to his soldier and he asked him, what were you doing? When you were raising your finger, he said, I was connecting the path. He sure was connecting the path. Not a worldly path, but the path between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now's the season of dua. Whatever's on your mind, personal or bigger or for the ummah, do it now. Do it now, and you have a duty on you not to forgive your Muslim brothers who are oppressed and hurt from your dua. لا تسألن بني آدم حاجة وسل الذي أبوابه لا تحجبي الله يغضب إن تركت سؤاله وبني آدم يسأل وبني آدم حين يسأل يغضب لا تسألن بني آدم حاجة. Don't ask the sons of Adam anything. وسل الذي أبوابه لا تغلقي. I close my door. Allah doesn't close his door. Ask the one who doesn't close his door. Allah يغضب إن تركت سؤاله. Allah gets mad if you don't ask him. وبني آدم حين يسأل يغضب. And the sons of Adam, like me, you ask me and I'm going to get mad. But Allah is different. ولله المثل الأعلى. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين.